The question was asked, do we actually know why we bring korbanot? So, in trying to answer that question, I want to first address a more general question, which is, do we ever really know why God tells us to do something? So we have to recognize that our knowledge can only go so far. I usually say it with a story. You talk to a kid, you sit with a child that's 3 years old. When kids hit about the age of three, so they start asking why. So you tell your son, be careful not to drip from the food on the table. So he asks you, why? So you say, because then we'll have to clean up and you won't be able to eat that food that drips on the table. And he asks you, why? And you say, well, because the food got dirty on the table, so you shouldn't eat it. So he'll say, why? And you'll tell him, well, maybe there are germs and you don't want to get sick. And he'll ask, why? And he'll say, well, you don't want to get sick because who knows what will happen if you get sick. You got to stay healthy. And he'll ask, why? And you'll say, what are you going to say then? Why do you want to stay healthy? Oh, no. At some point, let's continue. Okay? So you tell the kid, well, you want to be healthy. You have a job to do in this world. In order to perform, you have to be healthy. And the kid says, why? And you say, well, God created you this way. This is the way God wants you to function. And he'll say, why? Notice that where did you reach then? Why did God do this? Everything you do will end up with that question. You walk with your child and you tell him, don't go on the street. And he says, why? And you tell him it's unsafe. You realize you're going to get to the same place? Your child comes to you and asks you, can I turn the light on Shabbos? And you say no. And he's going to ask you why, and you're going to end up in the same place. Almost everything we do, if we keep asking why, that's where we're going to end up. Now, you understand that whatever answer you're going to give, the next question, what's it going to be?
Why?
So, we have to understand that there are two levels of understanding. There's what we might call the real, the empirical truth, the pure truth of why did God do things, and that is beyond us. And then there's the why that God says, from your perspective, this is how you should understand it. So let's take the greatest question in the world. Why did God create the world? We can't understand that. But we could know that God wanted us to have perspective. Our perspective should be that He created the world so that He would do good unto us, so that we would praise Him, we would appreciate the world that He gives us. Now, we all understand that if you're going to ask why about that, that's a legitimate question. And the truth is that at the end of the day, we're going to keep asking why, and you won't have an answer. You guys disagree with me? There has to reach a point where you won't have an answer. Because what are you going to say? Well, God wanted us to praise Him. Why? God needed us to praise Him. Why? Why? You'll always keep going with the why, and you'll end up at that point of square one, which is, well, that's God. God knows, and I don't know why. So whenever we discuss a question like this of why did God do something, we have to know we can't deal with the ultimate question of why. We have to start with the question of from our perspective, why. So if we're starting from our perspective of why, so then there are a few things we could know. One is, Maimonides tells us, and this is the concept that the Torah alludes to, that the Jews in the time of the temple were accustomed to pagan culture. They were sacrificing, and they were... God says, I'll set up a temple. I'll tell you a humane way to serve me. And this way you won't go out there and serve the pagan gods and then come to situations where you're burning your kids alive and who knows what you're doing. So God says, no, I'll tell you how to do it in a way that, well, you'll be able to contain yourself from serving the idols. That's one understanding. Of course, whenever God tells us to do something physical, so there has to be a deeper understanding, and that's where Kabbalah comes into the picture. That's where the secrets of the Torah come in. But that's beyond us. So this is one understanding. There's also the concept that, what does the word korban mean? What's the root of the word korban? Karev, karov. What is karev, karov? Close. Korban is supposed to bring us close to Hashem. How does it bring us close to Hashem? What was done before you brought a sacrifice?
Purify yourself.
What else did you do?
Prayed.
You prayed. What else did you do? If you brought a chatas, a sin offering, what did you do? You leaned on that animal. You did smicha. You put your whole weight on its head. Animals could hold your weight. It's not a big deal. You'd lean on the animal. What were you saying? You were saying, look, this animal is about to die. And its blood is going to splatter all over here. And this animal is going to be brought as a sacrifice. Really, God told me don't desecrate Shabbos. I turned on a light on Shabbos. I deserve this. God is doing me a favor. He's saying, bring an animal. Take into account, wait a second, that should have been me. And then we're going to get close again. Do tshuva. Repent. Part of the concept of bringing a sacrifice is to give the person the thought, there but for the grace of God goes I.